Today's reading is taken from James chapter 4, verse 13, going through to James chapter 5, verse 6. So, we'll start with James chapter 4 and verse 13. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone, then, knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. Your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look! The wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Tim. I'm grateful to Pete Bennett, who's going to preach to us today. So, Pete, are you there? Here he comes. Good morning, Pete.
Here morning.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan. It's great to be with you all this morning as we listen to what God has to say to us. So do keep the passage open so you can follow along with me. And let me pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, as we come before your word, would you help us to listen carefully and speak to us, we pray. Would you show us any wrong attitudes in our hearts? And by your grace, change us for your glory. Amen. Well, I wonder if you're someone who likes to make plans. We all make plans to some degree or another, don't we? When we wake up in the morning, we usually have some idea of what it is we're going to do that day. I particularly like to make plans and to-do lists. Eleanor, my wife, sometimes teases me, saying I spend more time planning things than actually getting things done. And I think there's probably some truth in that some of the time. And sometimes we have to make quite big plans. I'm sure you can think of times for yourself. Perhaps it's moving home or choosing a school for your kids or applying for uni, for a new job. Maybe it's business plans you have to make. We all make a lot of plans. But I wonder, where does God fit into all of those plans? Well, in our passage today, James has some important things to say to us, including about the plans we make. I don't know what you were thinking to yourself as Tim was reading this passage, but it's a pretty grim passage to read. James certainly doesn't mince his words here. And really, he's been priming us over the last few weeks for this serious warning. At the end of chapter 3, James talked of the earthly, unspiritual wisdom that is of the devil and full of bitter envy and selfish ambition. In contrast, he says, the wisdom that comes from heaven produces humility. It's pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And then earlier on in chapter 4, James pleads with us to have humility, to submit ourselves to God, to resist the devil and that earthly wisdom that is of the devil, and instead to repent, to draw near to God and humble ourselves before the Lord. Humility and heavenly wisdom versus bitter envy, selfish ambition, and earthly wisdom. So as we come to our passage today, really, what this is just us is just showing us what it looks like to ignore what James has been saying about humility and wisdom. It's a warning of what pride and earthly wisdom looks like and what it leads to. So let's take a look at these opening verses, verses 13 to 17. Here we have a group of merchants or businessmen who like to make big plans about what they're going to do, where they'll go, and how they'll make money. So what's the problem then? Well, James isn't rebuking them simply for wanting to do business and make money, or even for making plans. This isn't James telling us we should be carefree and not consider the future or plan well. That's a wise thing to do. But rather, he rebukes them for cutting God out of the picture and boastfully ignoring him whilst ploughing on in self-dependence, as if they determine the future rather than God. So the root of the problem is pride. It's a self-sufficient attitude that supposes we can think and plan without reference to God, planning that ignores the fact that everything that happens in the entire universe happens under God's sovereign control and guidance. You make all these confident so-called plans, James says, but you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. And worse than that, verse 16, as it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. What are they boasting in? It's in their self-dependence and self-sufficiency. It's in their own ability to plan their future and succeed. It's saying to God, I don't need you, thank you very much. I'll do things my way. And James calls it evil. It's worldly wisdom. Me first, my plans, God out the picture. Arrogant self-dependence. And we can see why this proud attitude is so foolish. Look down at verse 14. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Just picture that early morning mist that seems to hover just over the ground until the sun comes up, and within a few hours it's gone. We've had some pretty cold weather this week, haven't we? And if you've been outside early enough, you'll have noticed the mist that forms for just a few seconds when you breathe out, and then it's gone again. James says, in case you've forgotten what your life is like, just remember that mist. Here 1 minute, and then gone the next. We don't know when our life will be over, so it's foolishness to make plans without recognising it's the Lord who determines what will happen to you tomorrow. Several years ago, one of my cousins was driving along the A14 on their way home from a family wedding with his girlfriend in the car next to him. He was just 26 years old, his girlfriend just 21. And another car hit them head on the dual carriageway. The driver of the other vehicle had been drinking, and my cousin and his girlfriend were both killed. It's complete shock. Tragedy for those who knew him, for those who knew them both. Praise God, they both very much knew the Lord as their saviour, though. Praise God, the plans they made in their life very much considered the Lord's will rather than their own. And so they're now with him in glory. But life is so transient, so unknown. Who knows when the mist will clear? We don't even know what will happen tomorrow. So let's not live our life proudly making plans as if we control the future. We've been painfully reminded of uncertainty at the moment in this pandemic, haven't we? Who would have thought at the beginning of 2020 that this is how the year would unfold? How many lives might have been lived differently if they'd known that COVID-19 would bring such an unexpected and premature end to not only business plans, but to our lives as well? How many people are waking up even now and perhaps for the first time realizing that their health, their business plans, their financial security, even their social lives are not in their hands at all? Perhaps just one of the ways God is working through the pandemic is to remind us of our dependence on Him. As I've said already, not that it's wrong to strive for a successful business or to make plans for the future, far from it, but we must recognize who is the sovereign one behind it all. Who holds all things in His hands, not just our business plans, but our whole life as well. It's utter foolishness, it's worldly wisdom to live without recognizing God as the one who sustains us, who gives us each breath we take. Our plans and businesses are under His sovereign control. COVID-19 is under His sovereign control. The day we take our last breath is under His sovereign control. So, how do we respond? Well, James tells us, look down at verse 15 with me. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. In everything, we recognize that it will only be possible according to the Lord's will. And so we depend on Him for everything. How would our prayer lives differ if we really believed this and remembered it each day? If nothing else, might COVID-19 be a reminder to us all to spend a lot more time on our knees in prayer? If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. That's the Christian perspective, isn't it? And that perspective means we do two things. First, it means recognizing, as we've just seen, that everything is in the Lord's hands. And so there's an element of uncertainty in the Christian perspective. We don't arrogantly boast in our plans as if they were concrete, nor in our own self-dependency, as if we were in control. But second, when James says, if it is the Lord's will, he also means that we try to live our lives according to His will, in line with His will. We humbly submit to God's will, not my plans, Lord, but your plans, not about me, but you, not for my glory, but for your glory, Lord. We say it in the Lord's Prayer, don't we? Your kingdom come, your will be done. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours. Verse 17 makes this clearer. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. James is saying, if we don't live according to God's will, then we sin. If we don't do the good that we ought to do, the good works that God has prepared for us to do and that we know we should do because He has revealed it to us in His word, which tells us how we should live. If we don't do that, then we sin. So when we make plans for the future, however big or small they might be, we should think, is this the kind of plan that is in accordance with how God wants me to live, in accordance with His will? So this is a warning to us as Christians. It's easy to slip into the mindset of the world around us, the worldly wisdom that puts me at the center of the universe and makes me the one who determines everything. But how do we stop this self-dependent pride? Well, we need to humble ourselves before God and submit to His will. We need to recognize that everything happens according to God's will, and so try to live our life according to that will. Anything else is foolish, sinful, and evil. Well, let's move on to the second half of our passage, chapter 5, verses 1-6. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered innocent men who are not opposing you. Well, we're going to spend the next few minutes just thinking through what are the accusations against these rich people and where are they heading? But first, it's worth just noting, I think James has in mind here both backsliding Christians as well as some wealthy unbelievers who are present within the church. We heard about some of them at the beginning of chapter 2 in the book of James, wealthy men wearing gold rings and fine clothing who come into their church meetings. And James says in chapter 2 that these are the ones who are exploiting the poor within the church. Of course, these verses do also speak true of wealthy secular people outside the church, but they're written to us as well. James is giving us another picture of what worldly, proud wisdom that is of the devil looks like. And it was, and still can be, present within the church. So we need to pay careful attention to the warning here. And there's four accusations he makes against the rich people. Number one, hoarding. Look down at verse 2 and 3 with me. Your wealth has rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. James isn't speaking against all wealth or condemning all rich people. And he isn't saying we shouldn't earn money and provide for ourselves. The scripture tells us that's a good thing. But they also repeatedly say it's the love of money that's the problem. Jesus gives us a similar warning in Matthew chapter 6. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And he goes on to say that we cannot serve two masters, both God and money. We can only love one and hate the other. So these rich people who selfishly accumulate wealth, hoarding it, laying up earthly treasure, show where their heart really is. They love money and not God. And not only will their wealth rot and corrode now, but it will testify against them in the day of judgment. The second accusation, exploitation, verse 4. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. You've got blood on your hands, James says. The law of our land, influenced by the gospel, gives us at least some protection from this kind of exploitation in the UK. We have minimum wages and workers' rights. But when we look around the world, it's easy to see how earthly wisdom and selfish ambition leads to exploitation of the poor. But nothing is hidden from the Lord, even when we think it's done in secret. God cares about injustice and has appointed a day when he will judge all things. He hears the cries of the oppressed, and it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Accusation number 3, self-indulgence. Verse 5, you have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. It's countercultural, isn't it? Our materialistic society, driven by worldly wisdom, longs for luxury and self-indulgence. But doesn't it seem so ugly when we read these verses? It's the opposite of the humility and heavenly wisdom that we should be seeking. When we self-indulge, we take more than we need, which inevitably means depriving others of what they need. So if humility is thinking about ourselves less and others more, then surely there's no place for self-indulgence. You're only fattening yourself for the day of slaughter, James says. And finally, accusation number 4, verse 6, you have condemned and murdered innocent men who were not opposing you. Perhaps this condemnation is also what James refers to in chapter 2 when he mentions rich men who are dragging others in the church into court. Selfish ambition, worldly wisdom that is of the devil. So where are these rich people heading? Well, James makes it pretty clear, doesn't he? Look down at verse 1. Weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. This is Old Testament prophet language as they pronounce judgment on a nation for their wickedness. And that's what James is doing here too. Judgment day is coming, the day of slaughter, the day your flesh will be eaten like fire, James says. It's an awful image. And unless you repent and turn from your arrogant, worldly self-indulgence, unless you humble yourselves before the Lord and receive his grace, you will stand before him in judgment on that day. The evidence is stacked up against them like a court case where there's no defense, 3 witnesses giving their evidence. Their corrosion will testify against you. The wages are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. Guilty is the verdict. Without the hope of the gospel, there's no escaping judgment. And as we, both as individuals and as a culture, reject the gospel and deny God's sovereignty and ignore the day appointed for judgment, we will continue to see more and more of this self-indulgence and worldly way of living. So for some of us, this might be a serious gospel warning that needs acting on now. Are we focused on laying up treasures on earth, filling our bank accounts and chasing after luxuries to indulge in, rather than in humility considering the needs of others first and using what God has given us for his glory and for his kingdom? And for others, I think this serves as a warning to prevent us from sliding into this worldly way of thinking and to encourage us to approach our money, our life, our plans with the humility and heavenly wisdom that James has been talking of. So let's consider our plans and what we do with our money. And let's remember the gospel. There is a sovereign God in heaven. Submit to his will. There is a day of judgment. If we self-indulge and fatten ourselves in the day of slaughter, we will face him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are sorry for our pride, for our self-dependence and self-indulgence. Forgive us, Lord, and help us to turn from worldly wisdom and to humbly seek your will in all things. Give us the wisdom from above that we might live as you have called us to live. For your glory we pray. Amen.